This Roto Report is brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. Well, the NBA draft, it is finally here. It's the day of the draft, and joining me to talk not only about that, but the latest news involving the Cavaliers and their head coach, David Blatt, as well as LeBron James becoming an official free agent, is Sam Amico from FoxSportsOhio.com. Sam, how are you today, bud?
I'm doing great, Kenny, and yourself?
You know what? Looking forward to getting this draft over, to be perfectly honest with you. My third mock draft is going to be out later today, and I've changed my pick three times at the top of the draft. So it's been kind of crazy how this all started with, the talk of Wiggins and Parker, but then Embiid taking over and then Embiid coming in for the workout. We were worried about his back, and it's his foot that really had the fracture, surgery, out 4 to 6 months. I mean, it's been absolutely crazy from the time this thing started to here we are on draft day.
It has been pure insanity, and I've gone with Jabari Parker. I do four mock drafts. I've gone with Jabari Parker for the first three. I won't give away who I'm going with tomorrow for my final one. You know, the funny thing was, Kenny, I asked the Cavs today, could you tell me who you're going to take just for the purpose of my mock draft? Because I know if I miss number one, I'll miss number two also, you know, so... They politely declined. But other than that, you know, so my pick will be out in the morning on FoxSportsOhio.com. I'll probably give a hint tonight, I don't know, while you and I talk about this.
I'll see if I can pry it out of you before we're done with this podcast. But here's the interesting thing, Sam. You and I were both there today, or yesterday now, for the press conference with David Blatt, the new head coach, and they didn't get into specifics about free agency because they asked us not to ask those questions or the draft. It was more about David Blatt and his style of coaching and being the first European coach to come over to the NBA. Let's start there before we get into the draft. What did you come away with as far as a feeling with the way David Blatt handled himself today and with the media and all the questions?
Well, you know, he has that kind of that wide-eyed look of a guy who's new to the NBA. Is very excited about the opportunity. I think David Blatt is the type of very passionate basketball guy who does not let the other distractions get in the way, you know, of the actual basketball. And I think he's going to be a success in that department of connecting to the guys, teaching them basketball ways to win and a fun system. And very much like Greg Popovich, in the sense that he's not going to let outside influences interfere with why he's there. And he is there to coach basketball. He is not there for any other reason. And, you know, I was worried about guys, like if they were to hire a Calipari or a Billy Donovan, those guys are kind of building their brand all the time. David Blatt won't be that guy. He is a good coach in the sense of, and I think this is very understated, in the sense of just teaching the game, And dealing with the personalities from a basketball standpoint. And that is huge because you have other people who are going to deal with all that other stuff, all the other outside influences, media, fans, all that kind of stuff. And I think he's very passionate, and that will show and wear off on the players.
It's one of the things that David Griffin, the GM, said from the get-go. Some of the things he really liked that sold him on David Blatt, he said passion, creativity, intelligence, can adjust as a coach and an authentic leader. So those were the things that they were looking for, I guess, as part of their criteria. And they did a thorough search, 11, I think they said, right, Sam? 11 coaches that they contacted in some way, shape,
yes,
or form, and then five or six,
right,
that they kind of got serious with and then chose David Blatt. And they added one of the other guys, the runner-up, in Tyronn Lue as the associate head coach. How surprised were you that they got Lue and David Blatt, the top two guys?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was impressed with that and the fact that you got both 1 and 1A, because if David Blatt turned this job down, this press conference today would have been Tyronn Lue as your new coach of the Cavaliers. So the fact that you got both of these guys that you really wanted, they really liked Lue because of the same reasons, very passionate, very offensive-minded. You know, David Blatt said, I'm not an offensive guy, I'm not a defensive guy, I'm just a basketball guy. Tyronn Lue could be kind of your offensive coordinator almost on this team. And you know, Blatt obviously has his own system, but Tyronn Lue's system and beliefs and approach to the game are very similar to Blatt's, and that's why they liked both of them so much. And Tyronn Lue, I'll tell you what, you know, talking to some of the guys around the league, he will be the kind of younger guy, 37 years old, who is going to connect with the younger players that have the very young roster. So he will be able to connect with them if there is ever a disconnect between the 55-year-old head coach and the 22-year-old point guard. Tyronn Lue should be able to step in and play a role in helping them get on the same page.
Talking with Sam Amico from FoxSportsOhio.com, NBA beat writer, covers the Cavaliers on a regular basis as well. And Sam, the coaches are in place now. The general manager is in place. So two big moves they had to make in the offseason, they did. Now it gets down to the draft. And the number one overall pick, they win the draft lottery again. And we mentioned earlier it looked like Embiid, but with the foot surgery, I think you and I agree he's not going to be their pick at number one. If they trade down, Sam, maybe 3, 4, or 5, I could see them possibly taking Embiid, but not at number one. So that leaves Parker and Wiggins. Give me the difference between Parker and Wiggins. For those people out there that maybe are trying to figure out who it's going to be, but wherein lies the difference between the two, and does one or the other have an edge based on Griff and Blatt and what the Cavaliers are trying to do?
Well, you know, I think we start with Parker. He's a guy who obviously can fill it up, you know, a la Carmelo Anthony. I've heard some people talk about Glenn Robinson, the former Milwaukee Buck guy who was the number one pick and a very nice NBA player. You know, he's a guy who is probably not ever going to be a real good defender in the NBA, but he is a guy who can fill it up, and that is his skill, and he will bring that from day one. He will be able to give you 15, 20 points right off the bat wherever he goes, and he checks a lot of those boxes. You know, he's a good, can score with either hand, can score inside, can score out. He's athletic enough to dunk on guys. So, I mean, he brings everything and, again, checks most of the boxes right off the bat as a guy who's going to be an immediate impact player. Andrew Wiggins, you know, I've made this comparison here throughout my little media tour the past few days. He reminds me very much of Dr. J. For people who didn't see Dr. J, kind of Tracy McGrady, you know, that type of player, very smooth, very athletic, very low-key. He's got that kind of low-key personality. You don't see him making a big stink whenever he does something right. I just really like him. Very dynamic and explosive, too. You know, so a guy who's going to put fans in the seats, I think, with his athleticism and just his style, and obviously a huge upside. Who fits better in the Cavs system? I don't know. Not knowing exactly what the Cavs system is, other than one that stresses ball movement, you know, both of them, and shooting, you think both of them have their benefits because, you know, Parker is a guy who's going to put up points and could shoot, and Wiggins isn't a terrible shooter. Both of them are decent enough passers. You know, I mean, offensively, they're both going to be able to, I would think, be good fits. Defensively, Wiggins has the edge, clearly could be a lockdown defender. But, you know, hey, either one of them are going to get abused defensively next year in their first year in the NBA. They're 19, 20 years old. That's just the way it always happens. So I couldn't tell you who would have the edge in the eyes of Griffin or David Blatt right now.
Here's what I did, Sam. I went back and listened to the May 13th press conference from when David Griffin was officially announced as the GM, because during that press conference, he told us who his coach was going to be. If you go back and listen to it, and you remember this, Sam, he said, look, we don't want to follow the trend. We want to zig when everybody else zags. And he sure as heck did that in hiring David Blatt from Europe. So I'm taking that into consideration, right? I'm also taking in some of the things that he talked about in that press conference about what he was looking for as far as the fit for this basketball team. He wants them to be a better shooting team, a bigger team, a team that has a higher basketball IQ and a player that does fit into all of this. So I took that along with hearing that David Blatt this past year with Maccabi Tel Aviv was a coach with his team that liked to spread the floor on offense. And then Kyrie and Dion as ball-dominant guards, they need the ball to be effective, so maybe you need somebody who doesn't have to have the ball in his hands to be effective. So I put all of that into my formula computer machine thingy-majigger, okay? And what I came up with out of all of this was Jabari Parker slightly a better fit for the Cavaliers than Andrew Wiggins, because he's more of the offensive-minded guy and more of a plug-and-play guy right now to help them win next season if they're trying to get LeBron James. What do you think of my theory?
I think that is an excellent theory, because that's exactly, you know, why he would have the edge for those very reasons. Because, you know, obviously they want to get to the playoffs. They want to get LeBron James back. And if they don't get LeBron James back, they still want to have a guy who will help them next year right away get to the playoffs. And in that sense, you have to think that Jabari Parker has the edge, because, you know, right on down the line, scouts will tell you that he's a guy who will probably help you more right away than even Joel Embiid when Embiid was healthy. So, you know, Parker in that regard, all those regards are probably what give him the edge. I also think he gets a raw deal when people say, well, you know, Andrew Wiggins has this huge upside. I don't know that his upside's that much better than Jabari Parker's. I think they both have great upsides. So there are a lot of things to consider here. And, you know, when you're a general manager, people say, well, I wouldn't want to be David Griffin and have to make this call. These are the moments that you live for, actually, because this time, draft night, the trading deadline, and maybe a few other moments, the team is in your hands. Other than that, you've made your coaching hire, you got the players, now it's up to the other people, and all you can really do is sit back and watch.
It's a great point. Sam Amico, our guest from FoxSportsOhio.com. You can read his stuff daily there on the Cavaliers and the NBA. And Sam, as we look at this pick, I think what people in Cleveland have to realize is they were picking ninth before the lottery. Here they are picking first, so they're going to get either Wiggins or Parker, or if they trade down and beat, they're going to get one of the top three players in this draft as opposed to the 9th, 10th, or 11th best player. So whoever they pick, people shouldn't be upset, because either one of those guys, Wiggins or Parker, are going to step in, probably start at the 3 and help this team. Don't you think so?
Kenny, I just do not get – I mean, I understand. It's human nature. People want to get in, you know, Team Jabari, Team Andrew. They want to get in a camp behind somebody. And then they get so caught up in that sometimes that they lose sight of, look, this team that should be drafting Doug McDermott, you know,
right.
And nothing wrong with Doug McDermott, but he's not Jabari Parker or Andrew Wiggins. I think no matter who they take, if I step out of this media personality and just view it as a fan, I will be thrilled with whoever they take out of those two people. I will just think, man, that is cool. They got the number one pick, and they got a really good, you know, potentially guy who is supposed to be a star, an all-star, when they didn't really, you know, they were 33-49. They didn't deserve this pick. So, you know, I think that that's what fans should focus on. And, hey, I know everybody likes their guy, and that's, you get behind your guy, and that's fine. But, hey, if you're in Team Jabari and they take Andrew Wiggins, there's no reason to sit there and say, you know, oh, they're going to draft, you know, they drafted this terrible player, blah, blah, blah. It's like, look, you should be drafting Doug McDermott, James Young, you know, Marcus Smart. That should be the guys you're choosing from. Instead, you have one of the two top players coming out of this draft, and whoever they take, the fans should just be thrilled with it.
One last thing before we jump ahead to the LeBron stuff, Sam. You and I both got similar intel on Jabari Parker's workout. A lot of reports that it was terrible. He tanked. He was out of shape. He's overweight. He was winded and all that. And you and I both got similar intel that it wasn't as bad as everybody was reporting it out there. Correct? That's what you heard too?
I heard it wasn't even close to as bad. But you know what? It kind of passes on like wildfire after one little report about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, thanks to Twitter, and we both love Twitter, but I think that tends to blow things way out of proportion very quickly.
All right, last thing on the draft. Any chance they trade out of number one? What would the deal have to be in order for them to give up number one, meaning they wouldn't get Parker probably or Wiggins because they're looking at trading it 3, 4, 5, 6 further on down. What would a deal have to be like for David Griffin in his first year as GM to give up that first overall pick and make a trade with somebody?
To be real honest, Kenny, I think you've got to get a star back, you know, because you're talking about at number one, you're talking about either Parker or Wiggins, guys who are potential stars, right? And this
right.
league is built on star power. So I don't think you take that number one pick, trade down with Orlando, get Aaron Aflalo and Orlando's picks. That does nothing for me because it's like I want a star out of this. I don't want, you know, I'm giving you a superstar. Who wins titles in this league? Superstars. I don't want to trade quality for quantity. I know Aaron Aflalo is a nice player. Nice players don't win you championships. Stars win you championships. So I would insist if I'm trading number one, I would want a star back. So that immediately eliminates Orlando because they don't have it. You know, so I mean, I wouldn't do this thing with Utah. I mean, if I'm trading number one pick, I'm either getting Kevin Love with an assurance that he's re-signing with us or DeMarcus Cousins or LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, those kind of the guys I want for the number one pick because these guys have so much. They're supposed to be dynamic players, Parker and Wiggins. So, therefore, I'm not giving them up for, you know, run-of-the-mill 20-point score, 18-point score on a bad team. That does nothing for it.
You and I are in agreement on that as well, Sam. Good stuff. I couldn't have said it better. I need me a star player as well. The only caveat to that, Sam, is if the Cavaliers, after finding that fracture with Joel Embiid, okay, and they've dealt with foot fractures before with Z, if they feel at 3 or 4 they can still get Embiid and another pick and they're willing to wait, that would be the only way I might consider it. But I'm with you. I would prefer it be a star player because they're trying to lure LeBron James here to Cleveland, and that would certainly help if they could do that. So let's go there now that he's officially a free agent in the NBA. I don't think we were surprised that he announced that he was opting out, but were you surprised how early he did it, and was that a smart business move on his part to do it this early?
Boy, I'll tell you what, he obviously has something up his sleeve there for the reason for doing that, or at least letting it be known, you know, that he opted out, what, 4 or 5 days, 6 days earlier than he needed to. It's hard to doubt his business decision, you know. I'm more on the basketball side of things, so I pay closer attention to that. But, you know, looking as a non-business guy, there's obviously a reason he's doing this now. And you know what's interesting, I find interesting, Kenny, about this is he has a different, really, representative. I know LRMR is still there, but, I mean, Rich Paul is his primary guy. And you know, so he'll be handling things a little bit differently this time. And I can't imagine that he hasn't talked to Wade and Bosch already about how he's going to go about things and how they're going to go about things. I'm sure that they've discussed this because it's been perfectly legal. It's not been like collusion or anything.
Right,
they can
right.
talk
well,
about
they had
this all year.
What was it, the dinner today or lunch today or yesterday? They supposedly had dinner or lunch in Miami, so I'm sure they have an idea of what is going on. Maybe they'll set a
yes.
deadline or something like that before you know, they all decide, because while LeBron opted out early, Bosch and Wade still have a few days before they have to make their decisions known. But I'm guessing that they have a plan in place for them to stay together, as well as for the three amigos or the threedles, whatever you want to call them, breaking up.
Right. You know, and I'm sure they all know by now, you know, it's LeBron either, hey guys, you know, I'm going to move on and it's been a great run and I appreciate everything, but I feel like, you know, I need to explore my options, sit down with these other teams and see how it goes. You guys do whatever you need to do. Could be that, could be, okay, you know, hey, we're all teaming up again. Let's come back and make this work. Give it one more run and see what else we can do. You know, that kind of thing. But it's interesting because you're not going to just sign a one-year deal now. If you re-sign with Miami, you're pretty much there the rest of your career. And I don't know, you know, at least the prime part of your career. And I don't know if you're LeBron James, if that's the best move for you right now if you're talking about winning more championships.
I agree with you again on that. So that brings the Cavaliers into play here. And what do you think the chances are that LeBron returns first 7 years with the Cavs, last four with the Heat? What are the chances he returns for the next 4 to 5 years as a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers through free agency?
Well, Kenny, I you know, that's tough to do, get into someone's head to figure out what they're going to do. But if he has, you know, he has his reasons, it certainly would be a place for him to, you know, obviously he would fit in and all that. But the reasons he would have to come up with are because, you know, he's looking at this big picture-wise, where would he want to be in 4 or 5 years with a team with a point guard like Kyrie Irving, who in 4 or 5 years is still only going to be 26 years old. You know, this is still going to be a fairly young roster. They have the number one pick. And I think you put LeBron on this team and all of a sudden they're a championship contender. I know people don't believe that, but I really think so. They went to the finals in 2007 with a team. If you took off LeBron off 2007 team, I don't think they could beat this current Cavs team on a regular basis, or at least in a 7-game series. So I think that that's something he needs to consider. There are still other moves that could be made along with him being signed. Not to mention the fact, Kenny, we all know if he goes back to the Miami Heat, he'll be the NBA's best basketball player. If he comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers, look at how he will be viewed. Globally, he will be, you know, I mean, you consider, look how big Johnny Manziel is. LeBron already is a huge star. He will be even that much bigger because of the story, you know, that of redemption and the guy coming home. You know, the whole prodigal son story will be blown out of proportion, but it will be huge. And I know for a fact, well, I shouldn't say for a fact, but everybody I know who's close to him that is willing to talk will say that's the one thing he knows, is that he would just blow up. And if that is something that he wants to do and it equals that with winning championships, then I think the Cavs have a pretty doggone good shot.
Let's hope so. The Cavaliers, as we've seen the last 4 years, have struggled mightily, not in the playoffs, picking in the lottery and the number one pick in back-to-back years, 3 out of the last 4. And to get him back with some of the young talent that would be around him, would, especially in the Eastern Conference too, Sam. And that's something my son and I were talking about earlier today. Western Conference, he goes to the Rockets or the Clippers. It's going to be a little tougher over there in the West, but in the East, I think he's got a better shot of at least maybe getting to the championship and then seeing what happens, so that the Cavaliers have that going.
Absolutely.
For them, along with the cap space, the young players, and either Jabari Parker or Andrew Wiggins as far as the number one overall pick. So there's some hope. I think while, you know, when he first left, I don't think anybody wanted him back because they were so pissed off at him and didn't care, and people were burning his jerseys and all that. But now it's been so painful without him for 4 years. I think a lot of people would welcome him back, and it would immediately make the Cavs a playoff contender. And I think, like you said, at least a championship contender in the Eastern Conference without question.
I think that he would be better off, you know, with this Cavs roster than continuing to go back with the Heat. And then, you know, they're going to be handcuffed if they continue to sign Bosch and Wade. And Bosch and Wade just may opt in. And then, you know, then you're in trouble if you're Miami. So I just think, personally, professionally, from a basketball standpoint, and I know it sounds crazy because the national media won't agree, I think he'd be better off with Kyrie Irving, Deion Waiters, and whoever the number one pick is, even if the Cavs can't bring in another veteran. You know, and Tristan Thompson, I just think he'd be better off here in the long run because, you know, maybe the Cavs wouldn't win a title next year with him, but I think going forward, they could win 2, 3, 4, whatever he wants because of the, you know, he's never played with a point guard like Kyrie Irving, not even close. He's had Mario Chalmers, Mo Williams. I mean, he's never had a real all-star point guard before. And I just think, you know, this is a team that could extend his career because they're so young. So, you know, hey, there are a lot of things to consider and you can never predict human behavior, but I think that, because it's his hometown and they have a ton of flexibility and cap space, I think it's something that he's going to really consider.
Yeah, we don't know what he's going to do. Do we know? Do you want to give me? Let me just ask you this with the number one overall pick. And for people to have to go back or remember what you said earlier in the podcast, are you changing your mind in this fourth mock draft or not? You don't have to name names, but are you changing your mind or not?
Well, let's put it this way. I have changed my mind 3 or 4 times today. I'm telling you, just today I've changed my mind 3 or 4 times. Ultimately, no, I'm going to probably go with – in fact, I'm almost positive I'm going to go with the same guy I had in my first 3 mock drafts.
All right, Sam, always a pleasure. Thanks for making time for us, and I'll see you out at Cleveland Clinic Courts on Thursday night when we find out for real who David Griffin and David Blatt and Dan Gilbert and the Cavaliers select #1 overall.
That'll be great, Kenny. I look forward to seeing you. And then when that's all over, we'll talk LeBron again, I'm sure.
There is Sam Amico. Check him out at FoxSportsOhio.com. Outstanding Cavs and NBA writer. And we appreciate him joining us here on the Roto Report, which was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444. Or check them out online at LaserInsurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.